Hello, Nets. This is Jesse from Rock Sugar, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Keep it right here.
Hello, everyone. This is Michael Blanchard with the GeekCast Radio Network and This Week in Geek. Today, I have a super awesome privilege to interview Jess Harnell. Yes, that's right. The lead singer of the breakout smash hit band Rock Sugar and the voice of Wacko Warner from Animaniacs is on the line with us. Hello, Jess.
Hey, man. How are you, Mike?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for those kind words. I owe you $5.
That's okay. Your publicist sent me the CD. It's more than fine. Just to get us started, can you give us just a quick summary of your upbringing and how you became a voice actor and then got into the whole singing thing with starting Rock Sugar?
Well, you know, the singing thing actually came before the voice acting thing, oddly enough. My upbringing was that I was born in a musical family. My father was a fantastic accompanist, and he played with people like Frank Sinatra and Barbra Streisand and people like that. And my mom was and is one of my favorite singers. She's more of a big band kind of a singer. But I always, you know, I was always singing, and I formed bands starting as early as junior high, many of which involved Chuck Duran, who was the guitar player of Rock Sugar. And in the mid-80s, I began doing studio work as a singer, Mike. My first demo tape, actually, I did We Are the World, the original version of We Are the World, as opposed to the one from like 6 months ago or something. And I imitated everybody's voice on We Are the World, and that was my demo. And it was cool because I knew when I did that even if it sucked, it would attract attention because it was unusual. And I've always been about trying to find unusual ways to market things, hence Rock Sugar. But anyway, I started doing studio work and singing a lot of jingles and a lot of commercials and stuff like that. And one day, I think it was a Budweiser commercial that I was singing, they had the voiceover copy on the same sheet as the lyrics that I was singing. And I just started messing around talking about beer. And they said, you know, do you do voiceover? And I said, well, I do now. And they said, okay, man, why don't you take a crack at that? And that was my first thing. And then I started getting into character voices because I've always been a mimic and I've always enjoyed coming up with voices for... You know, I'm the kind of person that drives down the street and I see somebody, you know, walking on the other side of the street and I go, I bet you he would talk like that. You know, and I make up voices for characters as I'm just going about my day. And, you know, one thing led to another, man, and I started getting into animation. And the first big job that I did was the voice of Br'er Rabbit on Splash Mountain for Disneyland and then Disney World. And then I started doing Roger Rabbit for Disney because they were having problems with the guy who they had originally had as far as scheduling and stuff like that. And then... from that, Animaniacs happened, and from there, it's just been one great thing after another, and I've been very, very fortunate because I am not qualified to do anything in the job market, so I'm really lucky that I can make a living doing this.
I got to tell you, We Are the World, the original version, is one of my number one favorite songs. Is there any way that you could email us the promo that you did, if you still have it?
Oh, you know what, man? It's funny that you asked about that. I should probably look for that because people are asking to hear it from time to time anyway. And I'll tell you what, Mike, you know, you seem like a great guy. I've been reading some of the posts that you've been putting on Facebook and stuff like that. If I can find that, I will absolutely send you a copy. So just make sure that I have an accurate email address on you. And if I can dig it up, then you got it, man.
Awesome. All right, the way we're going to do this is we're going to start with the Rock Sugar stuff, and then we're going to move into some voice acting stuff.
Cool.
As far as Rock Sugar goes, who came up with the background story? Was it a collaborative effort? Because that is just the most hilarious background story. I've got the press information that Lori sent me, and it's like, wow.
Well, you know, it's funny because Rock Sugar, that's kind of cool. How you say it in Switzerland, Rock Sugar is first and foremost an entertainment vehicle. And I mean, we want to be entertaining to people. We want people to, just like when you go and you see a really good movie, for an hour and a half, you forget the crap that you're dealing with and you forget your bills and you just have a good time. And that's the point of Rock Sugar. So that story you're talking about, there's a fictional story that I actually wrote about the band being stuck on an island in 1989, and the only music that they had to listen to for 20 years was the pop collection of a 13-year-old girl. And so they were listening to a lot of Rick Springfield and Madonna and Paul Abdul and people like that, that normally a heavy metal band maybe wouldn't listen to, but that still record, you know, good songs. The truth of the matter is that Chuck and Alex, our drummer, and I actually were paying good American dollars to go to a desert island called Turks and Caicos and perform every day. Mm-hmm. They just did, I think, 3 songs a day, and in return, they paid for us, and they took care of us, and they taught me how to kayak, and, you know, ride a, you know, control a sailboat, and, you know, even learn trapezing, believe it or not, if you can imagine such a thing. And while I was there, I thought, you know, it would be an interesting thing if a metal band got stuck on an island and all they had to listen to was pop records. What would that do to their heads? I think it would be like brainwashed by pop, like the Popholm syndrome, you know, like the Stockholm syndrome. And so that's where it came from. And then I ran that idea by Chuck, and he's a very musical kind of a person, which is good. And he came back to me a few days later with Don't Stop the Sandman, where he combined Don't Stop Believing by Journey and Enter Sandman by Metallica, and that became kind of the template for the record. And from there, it was just like we were constantly trying to one-up each other and say, well, how about if you took this and this, and how about if you took this and this? But I think the idea originated with myself, but it certainly could not have been executed without Chuck and later on without Alex and Johnny, our bass player.
Yeah, you mentioned the, you know, going through, you know, talking about, you know, how does this sound with this, or how does that sound with that? What was the process of going through and selecting the song combinations for Reimaginator? Was it just like random songs that came into your all's heads or ideas, or were there any other ones that you wanted to put in there?
Well, many, many, and in fact, you know, we're already talking about the next record because. Fortunately, the demand is there. People seem to want us to make another record, so we're going to be doing that. And we've already got a lot of ideas sketched out. The way we actually did it, Mike, is we made a list of all of our favorite metal riffs, mm-hmm. and we made a list of all of our favorite pop songs, because for those who may not have heard it yet, what basically Rock Sugar does is we take the metal riffs that get everybody moving and make everybody want to get up off the floor and put their fists in the air, and then I sing pop songs over those metal riffs. So you get Journey over Metallica and Madonna over AC/DC and a lot of other unlikely combinations. We had these lists, and basically it was just a matter of mixing and matching and seeing what worked and what didn't, you know.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. As far as the title of the CD, was that something that Reimagine, or was it just something to go along with the idea of metal rips meets pop, or was it something that you guys had to really think about for the title?
No, you know what? That was another thing. It was just serendipitous. I mean, I enjoy words. I enjoy, you know, playing with words, and that's where you get a lot of those titles on the record. The weird combinations of titles became like a game to me, putting them together. And I was thinking, we really need a name for the album that is fun, you know, but at the same time has some metal to it, because I'm like, you know, first and foremost, these guys rock, you know, and I'm like, well, what would be, you know, and I was always thinking of like Judas Priest, so they had Painkiller, you know, and Turbo Lover and all these kind of, you know, Judas Priest things, and I thought, well, we don't really think of what we're doing as being a cover band, because, with all due respect to cover bands, they just cover the songs, you know, more or less, I guess, the way that they are, and we really tried to reinvent these songs, you know, and Reinventor didn't sound as metal as Reimaginator did. Plus, I don't think it was an existing word prior to the album, now, and now it is, you know, and hopefully, I mean, it's on Wikipedia, or at least we're on Wikipedia, and the name of the album is on there, so eventually, if the album does well enough, maybe Reimaginator will become a word. I can think of no greater honor. It's like, forget Platinum Records, man, I just want to contribute a word to the English language. You know, that would be a pretty cool thing to do.
Yeah, I've got the CD here and I'm looking at it, and just before I even started playing it, before I started listening to it the other day when I got it from your publicist there, I'm looking at these titles and I'm like, oh wow, this is going to be so awesome. Like, Shook Me Like a Prayer, that's got, outside of Don't Stop the Sandman, that is going to be my number one favorite, because it is so, just the riffs on that are so awesome.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you. Well, that's what it's designed to do. It's like, we want to make you, this band is designed to make you want to drive fast, you know, forget to pay your mortgage, you know, have sex and have a good time and be happy. And all the things that kind of music, you know, hopefully was in the 80s, in the late 80s, there was an era where music was just a lot of fun, you know, and in some ways I think that's been lacking in recent years, and, you know, we just wanted to do whatever we could to kind of bring some of the fun back to it. And from early indications, the shows that we've done so far, which have been really, really successful, and we've had amazing people show up to, you know, be at those shows, you know, so far so good, everybody's having a good time, including the band.
Yeah. I was reading the other day in the press information that I got sent, did the YouTube reaction surprise you? Because, I don't know, it's something like over 3,000 views or something or other, or 3,000 hits on YouTube?
Oh, no, man, it was over, what happened is, we were well over 300,000 hits.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah. I mean, 3,000 was okay, but 300,000 was a heck of a lot better. And then, And then the video actually got pulled because of some confusion, and then it went back up, and it's already back. That particular video is now over like 180,000, so it's over 500,000 just that. But then we have several other songs that were put up by friends of the band, and I say friends because I don't really use the word fans. I think of the people that that support us as our friends, man, because they're, when we play, or when you hopefully you listen to a Rock Sugar record, it's not a case of, you know, them and us. It's a case of us all being at the same party and having a good time together. But you know, a lot of these people have actually made videos themselves with our songs, and they've all had like 100,000 here and 100,000 there. So I think at this point we're actually over 1 million hits on YouTube, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's very, very, very awesome.
Yeah, really.
Before we switch gears, how much touring will you guys do to promote the CD?
You know, it's funny that we got very, very lucky. We got signed to an agency called Paradigm, and some great guys at that agency took an interest in the band and signed us. They also represent Aerosmith and Coldplay and a lot of other really, really big bands. And we're basically going where the road leads us, man. But we have already played. We played a couple weeks ago in Memphis for 10,000 people. And it was funny because we played right before Vince Neil from Motley Crue, who, you know, we love Motley, so that was a big honor, and he really liked our band. And then at the end of the day, the headliner for that day was Three Doors Down, and they got stuck in Nashville and couldn't make it. And the festival organizers literally asked us if we would step up and play again, and we did. So we actually were the first band ever to open for ourselves. But we did that, and it was great. And we're going over to England. We're playing with AC/DC and Aerosmith at the Donington Festival in June for 120,000 people. And we've got a lot of other big festival dates coming up. Plus, things are in the works toward getting us what they call a residency in Las Vegas, where we'll be in Las Vegas pretty much every weekend. And that'll be really, really fun. So, and, you know, because everybody goes through Las Vegas, so I'm sure we'll get to meet a lot of people that way, and a lot of people get to hear what we're doing. And, you know, as far as, like, touring, you know, on the bus the way that it used to be, I don't know that it's, that may happen. And, I mean, we've already been approached. We're playing with Rat and the Scorpions on at least one date, and now it looks like they're talking about having us do some other shows, too. Mm-hmm. So you never know. I mean, I never say never. If you had told me 5 years ago that I would be doing this, I'd be like, I don't think so. You know, you're going to keep talking about, you know, being a robot or whatever. Yeah. on that given day, you know.
Yeah, that's the same thing with me. If people told me 5 years ago that I'd be talking to Jess Harnell, voice of Wacko Warner, I'd laugh in their face.
Well, that's very kind of you, Mike. I appreciate that.
So switching gears into the voice acting stuff, out of all the characters you've played, besides the obvious choice of Wacko, who are your favorites?
You know, there's been so many that I've been really, really lucky to play. And you know, I can never believe the fact that I continue to work to the level that I, to the degree that I do, because I know how talented the people that I work with are. And I'm always like, wow, you know, you could have gotten Billy West to do this. You could have gotten Rob Paulson or Jeff Glenn Bennett or one of my peers that I think are so fantastic in what they do. But some of my favorites, I feel really fortunate that I was that I'm in the Transformers movies as both an Autobot and a Decepticon. I'm the only person in those movies who's played two roles, which is nice. Mm-hmm. And I've been a good guy and a bad guy, so I'm working against myself, kind of like the government in a lot of instances. So I'm proud of that. I'm very proud of the fact that for a lot of years now I've been the announcer for a TV show called America's Funniest Home Videos. The reason I'm proud of that is because people, you know, watch that show. Families can watch that show. And, like, a grandpa can watch that show with his kid and their kids, and everybody can laugh and be entertained, and nobody's going to want to leave the room because they're embarrassed or they think it's stupid or whatever. So I'm happy about that. I'm happy and privileged to be part of the Pixar family. And they, for whatever reason, man, you know, they keep having me back. And I've been in, you know, Toy Story, and I think all three of the Toy Stories, and I've been in Bug's Life, and I've been in Finding Nemo, and I've been in Up, and they keep finding something for me to do, which amazes me, because, you know, these are things that I would be privileged just to go and see, much less be a small part of, you know, so those are the ones that first come to mind, you know. I mean, like I said, anytime I get to work, which has been enough to sustain me for a long time now, you know, I'm always grateful, because I know that there are a lot of people that can do a great job at that, I'm just fortunate that they could let me do it, you know.
Yeah. Can you reveal any behind-the-scenes moments during Animaniacs?
Oh, my gosh, there's so many. I mean, you know, they're numerous. You know, that was the first big show that I got, and I was working with, like, a who's who of the animation world on that, from Frank Welker to Rob Paulson to Tress McNeil to Jim Cummings. you know, and what was really great is that since I didn't come from an animation background, I mean, I loved cartoons, and I was always fascinated by the people that did the voices, but I didn't know them, you know, like a lot of folks who are into animation do. And I think that actually worked to my benefit, because if I had walked into a room to sing alongside some of my favorite singers, like if Steve Perry and Robert Plant and Don Henley had all been in a room together and they said, okay, you're going to go sing with these guys, I would have been very intimidated, you know? But with the animation stuff, I didn't know that these people were like the linchpins of the industry. So I showed up and I didn't have any fear, and I think that really benefited me, because I, you know, I was too stupid to be intimidated, I guess. And, and the amount of stories, man, is just innumerable, because we, first of all, we became such good friends, and we still are to this day. Rob and I, the guy who played Yakko on Animaniacs, we've recently been doing the Gophers, who were those really little, I'm happy about that kid too, I'm happy about all of them, but those real polite little English guys in the old classic, you know, Warner Brothers cartoons, like, oh, no, Ryan's the fuck you, what are you saying? Oh, Ryan's the Hugo, no, you, you know, those people, me and Rob are
yeah.
now, for Warner Brothers, you know, and, so that's a real joy, because we formed such a friendship on Animaniacs, and, you know, we toured the country. A lot of people may not know, but I'm sure a lot of people do, because we met so many people, signing stuff on weekends at the Warner Brothers store. We went all over the country, man, and those were tons and tons of memories there. And we also would just, you know, the stuff that got left on the cutting room floor of us, you know, talking in between the recording was just as funny in many ways as the show itself, which is saying something, because that show was unbelievably funny. And, you know, it was one of those things, man. It's sort of like the Rock Sugar thing. It's like, I've been in a lot of bands, you know, but Rock Sugar is doing something that nobody has ever done in this way before. I mean, believe me, we are very aware that there have been mashups, where there's so many great bands that have done so many inventive covers and stuff. But in terms of saying, hey, look, we're going to take a decade, say the 80s, and we're going to take two totally disparate, you know, fields of music, pop and metal, and combine them. And then make that a theme, and have a story, and have a show, and have all this stuff, you know, I don't know that that's been done before, so, you know, I'm very proud of it, and while we were making that record, and while we're doing this now, we all know how good it is, and that's the same thing with Animaniacs. It's like, we would look at each other and go, you know, we may do something as good as this again, but it doesn't really get a lot better, and I think that just in life, if you can do that, if you have the sensibility and the wisdom to, when you're involved in something great, to appreciate it and recognize it while you're doing it and go, you know, this is pretty darn good. Then yeah. You're a lucky person. And in that way, I definitely was a lucky person, because we all knew that Animaniacs was the bomb. And it still is, you know.
We, on one of our other podcasts called Tooncast, we talk about all kinds of cartoons we grew up, from Looney Tunes to everything up till 1999. And we interviewed Maurice LaMarche. And one of my little... I didn't want to ask him a question about it, but I just wanted to make a statement. I said, stunt burping, go. And because
I remember... What did you say?
I told him, stunt burping, and I had him explain it.
Oh, God, yes. Oh, yeah, man, he's the best.
Yeah.
Bo was a huge inspiration to me, too, man, because he's such a great impressionist, you know, and I used to just kind of marvel at his impressions and you know... And I learned a lot from him, as well as a lot of the other people that I mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got to tell you, before the last question I have for you, when I first saw the Don't Stop the Sandman video, if yeah. I didn't know that it was you on the screen, I would have thought, wait, isn't that Steve Perry?
Oh, thank you, man.
Because it sounds so close.
Steve is a huge influence of mine and a huge hero of mine, and I'm always very flattered when people say that. And, you know, it's funny, because when you're singing something like that, you know, something like Don't Stop Believing, if you don't kind of, you know, what it was fun for me on the whole record is I got to kind of put on hats of a lot of my favorite singers, from Axl Rose to Steve Perry to Joe Elliott and Def Leppard and Brian Adams and a lot of other guys, and try to emulate them, and at the same time stay true to what we were doing and not become like a Vegas, you know, impersonator kind of a band, you know, nothing right. against that. I love going to see those guys, but yeah, you know, it was really fun, because I got to kind of try to you know, capture the characteristics that people love from these singers who I love too. You know, they're my favorite singers too, and I really wanted to do it with the utmost respect and the utmost integrity. I mean, we get, and what we're doing in the band is a little, you know, I guess the word would be a parody, because, it, you know, we understand that it's crazy to sing Madonna over AC/DC. But what's crazier still is that it works, and a huge compliment that we get is when people say, you know, I listened to this, or I saw this video, and I laughed, and then I started listening to it, and I went, wow, this is really good, you know, and that always makes us really, really happy. And before we go, Mike, I want to please extend a hand to everybody who's listening, you know, on your site or, you know, through your podcast or whatever you've got going, that they'll come and join us at Facebook, at Rock Sugar Band, and don't come as a fan, come as a friend, you know, enjoy the music. We do a lot of fun stuff on that site. We give things away. We give away tickets and shirts and CDs and all kinds of other things. We make a movie for the fans, for the people that are on the site every Monday. There's a new movie that we post, you know, just kind of filling them in on what we're doing or showing them where we are. You know, we try to take really good care of those people because we understand how important they are to the band. So that's Facebook. There's also a website, rocksugarband.com. We usually sell a lot of stuff. The store right there is down right now because we're getting a whole bunch of new merchandise. We're going to go back up with guns blazing. So you can't get a CD right now, but keep watching, because you'll be able to get it again very, very soon, as well as shirts and hats and God knows what else. And hopefully I can get a deal on it because I want to get some of that stuff too.
I want to just tell you, you know, ever since I've had the CD the last 2 days, I actually enjoy listening to this more than the original songs.
Oh, well, thank you, man.
Because it's just so awesome.
Well, that's kind of you. And I think that, you know, the reason that you might feel that way is just because you probably love those original songs so much, but yeah, you've heard them for a long, long time. And that's kind of the fun of the band, is that we're taking something that everybody knows as well as you know your own name. I mean, this is stuff we've all heard so many times, and we love it. But it's really kind of cool to hear it and think you know where it's going, and then have it go somewhere else completely, you know? And one of my favorite things to hear about Rock Sugar is when people buy the CD, and they say, man, I have people over to my house, and I put it on, and I just said, here, listen to this. And you watch their faces, because it's like, oh, I know what this is. Wait a minute, what the hell is that?
You know? Yeah, exactly.
And I always say it's the perfect band if you got ADD, because every 45 seconds it becomes another song.
We would like to thank Mr. Jess Harnell for taking the time to chat with us in this special GeekCast Radio This Week in Geek interview. Jess, if you'll hold the line, we will be right back after this.
Hey, Mike, it was my pleasure talking to you, man. Thank you. We'll be right back.
class, are you ready for your lessons?
Yes, Miss Flamel.
Very well then, let's begin. Today's categories are astrophysics, Chaucer, Latin, nuclear fission, TV movies, and the United States. And please remember, students, your responses must be in the form of a question. Yakko, you're the reigning champion, so please select.
Okay, I'll take TV movies for 100.
She has made even more TV movies than Lindsay Wagner. Wacko?
Who is Valerie Bertinelli?
That is correct. Select again.
Okay, I'll take the United States for 500.
The Daily Double. Wacko, you can wager all or part of your money.
I'll blow the world.
All right, then. In the category of the United States, the answer is the names of all 50 states and their capitals.
Okay. Here goes. Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Columbus is the capital of Ohio. There's Montgomery, Alabama, south of Helena, Montana. Then there's Denver, Colorado, under Boise, Idaho. Texas has Austin, then we go north to Massachusetts, Boston, and Albany, New York. Tallahassee, Florida, and Washington, D.C. Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Nashville, Tennessee. Elvis used to hang out there a lot, you know. Trenton's in New Jersey, north of Jefferson, Missouri. You got Richmond in Virginia, South Dakota has Pierre. Harrisburg's in Pennsylvania, and Augusta's up in Maine. And here is Providence, Rhode Island, next to Dover, Delaware. Concord, New Hampshire, just a quick jaunt to Montpelier, which is up in Vermont. Hartford's in Connecticut, so pretty in the fall. And Kansas has Topeka, Minnesota has St. Paul. Juneau's in Alaska, and there's Lincoln in Nebraska, and it's Raleigh out in North Carolina, and then there's Madison, Wisconsin, and Olympia in Washington, Phoenix, Arizona, and Lansing, Michigan. Here's Honolulu, Hawaii's a joy, Jackson, Mississippi, and Springfield, Illinois, South Carolina with Columbia down the way, and Annapolis and Maryland on Chesapeake Bay. They have wonderful clam chowder. Cheyenne is in Wyoming, and perhaps you make your home in Salt Lake City out in Utah, where the buffalo roam. Atlanta's down in Georgia, and there's Bismarck, North Dakota, and you can live in Frankfort in your old Kentucky home. Salem in Oregon, from there we join Little Rock in Arkansas, Iowa's got Des Moines, Sacramento, California, Oklahoma, and its city, Charleston, West Virginia, and Nevada, Carson City. That's all the capitals there are.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You failed to put your response in the form of a question.
All aboard!
Talking cute, can't tell her that I love her, but the coin is probably moot. Like Jesse's girl.